Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. Good morning. This program is incredibly important. And I want to set this up that several years ago at this point, I don't remember the year, it was 5 or 6 years ago, by a vote of 49-1, almost unanimous support by then Mayor Rahm Emanuel and Chicago City Clerk Susana Mendoza, who led the charge, actually, and every humane organization, shelter group, and rescue in Chicago, myself and others, Chicago became, at that point, the 150th, approximately, city to say no dogs or cats, and in the case of Chicago and other cities, no rabbits as well, sold at pet stores. And then the pet stores, just a few of them, there aren't that many pet stores this really affected, but three pet stores said, we have a plan. We're going to go around the law, and we'll talk about how they've done that. And what Alderman Brian Hopkins from the Second Ward is here to talk about is how Chicago hopes to close that loophole so the ordinance that already has been passed can no longer be circumvented. I hope I set it up okay for us to jump in there, Alderman, and I thank you for joining me this morning.
Yes, Steve, you laid the groundwork pretty well there.
All right, so from there, you said, this is important to me. Why did you say that this is important to me? I don't know that I've asked you that.
Well, it's important to me because many people whom I've known for years and respect and consider close friends gave this issue to me some years ago. I came to it largely through, at the time, City Clerk Susana Mendoza, who is a dear friend of mine and has been for well over 20 years. And she called me and asked me, you know, what my position was on this issue. And I frankly said, I have no position on the issue. I didn't even know it was an issue. It wasn't on my radar screen at all. And she said, well, would you be willing to take this on as a freshman alderman at the time? I had just been elected. And she said, I think this is an issue that would really benefit you if you sunk your teeth into it and kind of put a flag in it. And no one else is really willing to do it right now. So the field is open. I need someone to champion this in the city council. And as my friend, I'm asking you. I said, sure. You know, what else would I say?
Yeah.
I trusted her. And this is in the context of myself. I'm not only am I not a dog owner and never have been, not a pet owner. So I didn't come to it from that personal experience that so many people in the advocacy community, where they have their personal stories and they can speak, you know, very passionately about the role that their companion animals has played in their lives over the course of their entire life. I don't have that, but it's not necessary for me to have that because I know a lot of the people who do. And when the time comes for me to introduce legislation like this and pass the microphone to those voices, I'm always willing and ready to do that. And that's really been the winning formula. That's how we passed the puppy mill ban in the first place.
So I think it's interesting that you – I never thought of this quite this way, that you don't have a companion animal. By the way, should you change your mind, I can help you. But at the moment, you don't have a companion animal. So you came into this objectively, and when you learned – about the facts of all this, where these pet stores get their animals from, dogs in particular, we're mostly talking about. What did you think, and were you surprised?
Steve, you're exactly right. I came to this debate with an open mind, and it didn't take long before the evidence led me to the truth. And the truth is convincing beyond any reasonable doubt and highly disturbing. The fact that I don't personally own an animal and have never been a pet owner does not mean that I'm not morally offended when I see an animal being abused. I am, as much as anyone who's ever owned an animal is. So it was relatively easy and relatively quick for me to sign on to the cause with all the passion and the belief of the advocates simply because it's fairly easy to tell right from wrong. And inhumane treatment of an animal is morally offensive to anyone who has a moral compass.
So let's back up a step. Chicago passed 49-1, as I indicated several years ago, but three pet stores said, We have a plan. Can you talk a little about that plan where they've circumvented the law, which to me should be, if it's not, a big part of this whole thing? I mean, aldermen passed overwhelmingly an ordinance for a reason, and to ignore that in of itself, I think, is wrong.
Couldn't agree more, and this actually raised the specter of a completely unrelated issue that I'll briefly outline because it draws a comparison. And for me, it was a red flag immediately because I've already been through this in another entirely separate matter. We were trying to deal with neighborhood festivals and street festivals. You know, that's such a popular thing in Chicago, or at least it was before the pandemic.
Right.
And they're all operating with the credibility that they earn from saying, we're raising money for the community. The money from this street festival goes to the local church or the synagogue or the food pantry or whatever it is. And so people say, well, you know, well, that's okay then. I'm going to let you close my street. I'm going to put up with the inconvenience. And I'm going to pay $5 for a beer and listen to, you know, the Hairbangers Ball for the 500th time in my life. Because the money goes to a good cause. It goes to a 501c3. It goes to a legitimate charity that even has a legitimate sounding name, like Neighbors for a Better Neighborhood, something like that, right?
Yeah.
So, but what we found was it's so easy to put together a fake 501c3 and give it a fake name like Neighbors for a Good Neighborhood and put that veneer of legitimacy on it and then apply for permits in closed streets and sell beer for $10 and make a lot of money. And that was happening all over the place. So when I heard about the 501c3 organizations that had been formed largely in the Midwestern states where the illegal puppy mill breeders operate, Iowa, Missouri in particular, and they had those fake but legitimate sounding names, and the attorneys who put it together were the same ones who were defending these operations in the litigation against them, I knew immediately what it was. I recognized it for exactly the fraudulent shell game that it was. And so we knew right away we had a real problem, that they had found a technically a legal way. You could argue it's immoral, but it would meet the letter of the law at the very least. And they were going around the intention of our ordinance, which is to put the inhumane, large-scale commercial breeders out of business.
So what these pet stores, to be clear, what these pet stores have done, these few pet stores have say, all right, we are now getting our dogs from rescues because they filled out the proper paperwork to call themselves rescues, even though they are the same places we always did get our dogs. And in fact, I do want to add one thing to be clear. No pet store ever gets a dog from a responsible breeder, as no responsible breeder will ever sell to a pet store. So if they're not from responsible breeders, they're from commercial facilities. Most often we call them puppy mills, and we call them that for a reason. That's exactly what they are. So here's a puppy mill now calling itself a rescue, filling out paperwork as a 501c3. And what's more, they don't sell directly to the pet store. They sell to a broker, then another broker. Sometimes you had another broker. The Tribune actually verified what I'm saying and what you said in a probably award-winning, I believe. I believe they won awards for that piece that they did of investigative reporting to figure all of this out. So they've confirmed it independently as well. By doing this, by calling these dogs rescues, so first of all, as you point out, they're circumventing Chicago law. Secondly, to me, I'm no attorney, but it seems they're defrauding the public by calling these dogs rescues.
I would argue they are, from a consumer information standpoint. As a consumer, you have the right to be informed about all manner of what your purchase is going to support. And that's a big part of the argument in favor of this ordinance. In fact, that came up today in a discussion that I had with some veterinarians and some of the owners of the pet shops that are targeted by this legislation. And they said, look, if you put us out of business, you're not going to stop the puppy mills. And here's why. Because the puppy mills will keep breeding puppies, but instead of those animals ultimately being sold in a retail establishment, they'll be sold out of the back of a van in a truck stop. they'll be sold on the internet, where a person looking to buy a pup will do their own research. And since they can't go down the street to the neighborhood retail pet store, they'll find another outlet on their own.
Alderman, I want to pick it up right there. I've heard that argument, too. I want to answer that argument when we come back on WGN. We're talking with Alderman Brian Hopkins. We're talking with Alderman Brian Hopkins about puppy mills, really, because that's where these pet stores get their animals from, and what a group of people, and I've heard this from veterinary professionals as well, though I want to comment about what most veterinary professionals are telling me, anyway, is that, okay, then they'll just go somewhere else, and mostly they'll go online, maybe back of a pickup truck somewhere in an alley and get puppy mill dogs. Well, it's true, sadly, and unfortunately, but realistically, too many puppy mills. Anyone can create a website, so they create a website, they go, people go online, and they purchase spontaneously that way. That's unfortunate, but Alderman, if you can tell me how you or anyone in any city anywhere, a local official, or for that matter, even a governor of a state, can mandate something, anything about the internet, I don't know. Can you do that?
No. In a way, we can't. Some days I wish we could for a whole variety of reasons, but clearly that is not a tool we have in our toolbox as a local municipal authority. But the argument really falls apart to your point, Steve, that at the beginning of the question, you mentioned the word, you know, legitimacy and consumer information. And that's the key to this. People go to a pet shop and they believe automatically it's legitimate. They see a sign, you know, outside on the street. They see a business license hanging in the window. They see staff who have jobs, and everything is above board. So they have a comfort level where they think it's completely legitimate, and they're very comfortable purchasing their animal there and walking home going, well, you know, I did the right thing. I went to a reputable pet shop, and everything must be fine, right? So you take that same person and tell them, now the pet shop's closed, what are you going to do? Well, you know, I'm going to buy it from some shady guy out of the back of an unmarked van in a truck stop. Absolutely not. Why would the person who is so concerned with legitimacy that they seek out a licensed retailer with, you know, Yahoo and Yelp reviews, why would they suddenly decide, now I'm going to go to the shady internet and I'll find some creepy guy and I'll buy my animal that way? It's a ridiculous argument. I reject it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the opposite will be true. This will shut down the pipeline from puppy mills to urban cities and put puppy mills out of business. That's what this will do. It won't give the puppy mills a better alternative to illegally market their animals. If that was the case, they would be doing it already rather than trying to use the facade of legitimate retailers.
And once the loophole is closed, I mean, so far we're at nearly 400 cities. And Chicago will be, again, I hope, among those cities. It never really hasn't been because we have an ordinance, but it's been ignored, and now some are fighting it. But taking the opportunity, while we try to close the loophole, take the opportunity to try to disregard something the aldermen already have voted for, which I don't even understand how that can happen. But it would be about 400 cities that we're at right now that say no dogs or cats. In some cases, also rabbits are allowed to be sold at pet stores. Dozens of counties have said that. A county in West Florida just did that. And three states so far, if it weren't for the pandemic, I know other states, I mean, they've got it in the hopper. It's just the pandemic has slowed down legislation. In Illinois, we have, I don't remember the exact number, forgive me, but like 13 cities or so that have said no dogs or cats can be sold at pet stores. So statewide in Illinois, it's coming. It's coming all over the country. And people want this, Alderman, for, I believe they want it for a reason. We want to do the right things and are offended by the fact that puppy mills even operate in a nation where half the people who have a dog share their beds with their dogs.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. The momentum is building, and we can't do it alone in Chicago. Although, as I said, the puppy mills that we're focused on just, you know, happen to be within half a day's drive of the city of Chicago. So it's up to all of the cities across the country to recognize that they all have this problem. You know, you get 60 to 80 miles outside any mid-sized city anywhere in the Midwest, and you'll find the source. of dogs for pet shops in that city. And, you know, I'm not going to say every one of them operates in an inhumane manner. That was one of the points that was brought up in our discussion today, was the pet shop owners are insisting that there's some really good examples of large-scale commercial breeders that are humane and that run a really good operation. And I said, okay, well, I can't categorically say that's impossible. I'm not aware of any. The Tribune isn't aware of any, and they look too. So tell me who they are. Give me a list. Give me the list of these so-called model commercial breeders, because I want to see how they operate, and I want to confirm for myself the fact that they exist. Maybe they do. I think they might.
But why, if they do, why can't we see them? Why are they so secretive? And a group nationally are working at trying to figure this out so we come up with a better solution than what we have today. But what we have today, and what you can control as an alderman in Chicago, is to stop the inhumane pipeline of these animals coming into the city. The other thing veterinarians tell me, I don't know if you guys talked about it, is that Illinois has a lemon law, so people could return their dogs. Did that come up too?
It did, yeah. And I've asked for statistics with regard to how often that particular card is played. My hunch is not very often. I think I'm glad the law exists. It exists for a reason. I doubt that people are either aware of it or willing to do it. If you get a dog and 3 weeks later there seems to be some issue, you've already bonded with that animal, and
right,
you're not necessarily just going to give up. You know, the kind of person that wants to adopt that companion is by nature the kind of person that's going to fight for that companion even after 3 weeks. You know, so I don't think it happens very often, and I'm not sure that we can cite that as a solution to the problem of commercial breeders who breed animals that within their DNA have problems and have short lifespans and have medical issues, from the start. It's unfortunate, and I think by the time the typical family really comes to realize that, it's too late. That's already their animal, and they're going to stick with it.
Well, and Alderman, these aren't washing machines. They are members of the family. And 20 years ago, whenever the Lemon Law was passed, I was all for it. I mean, that's all we could do at the time. This is not that time. It is this time, and we need to move forward. How can people, at least residents of Chicago, help?
Well, by all means, contact your alderman. Whoever your alderman is, any one of the 50, really needs to hear from their constituents. Especially their pet-owning constituents, that's very important. My intention is to get this to a floor vote. And as I said, we know there's passionate proponents and there's equally passionate opponents. And there's both sides here. So this will be decided by the larger population of aldermen who haven't been paying that close of attention to this, as I'm sure you can appreciate, Steve. We
sure
have some
yes
major issues in front of us right now. The city council has all it can handle from top to bottom, so many issues, and now we're starting to deal with our budget, too. So you can't assume that your alderman is completely well-informed and well-briefed on this particular issue. You may be the first to really bring it to their attention. So please, call your alderman. Let them know why this is important and ask them for their support.
Perfectly said, Alderman Hopkins. Thank you so much as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Once again, I thank Alderman Hopkins for joining us. Alderman Hopkins is certainly not alone. As far as I know, every shelter and rescue in the Chicago area is a proponent of this. Us veterinary professionals against puppy mills, like that group on Facebook, they are a proponent of this. The Puppy Mill Project helped drive it to begin with, so they, of course, are a proponent of it, and so many others. And to the best of our knowledge, all of you, the general public, I mean, this may not put an end to puppy mills. There's no doubt about that. This is going to end the pipeline going into Chicago. This will make Chicago a more humane community by not supporting puppy mills. And Chicago's a big place, so this will impact puppy mill business. All of that is for sure. Will the puppy mills still go online? Yes, until the United States government goes after them, including the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And, you know, all of you have said in so many different ways, enough is enough already. So if you agree with what the alderman was saying, what I was saying, and have been saying for a very long time, and this is really just about closing the loophole in an ordinance that already exists, and the pet stores, the three of them that are doing it, just going around an ordinance that exists. So what they're doing is unlawful, in my view. It deceives the public by telling the public, oh, you're buying rescue dogs, when they are not rescue dogs, not really. And that's fraud. If you agree that no dogs or cats should be sold at pet stores ever, please, if you live in the city of Chicago, contact your alderman. Because now we're fighting for this all over again, which is silly. It's ridiculous because this clearly is the right thing to do. So we need your help. Contact your alderman. Tell your alderman how you feel. We'll talk to you next week on Steve Dale's Pet World.